Well, it's my honor and privilege to be able to talk to one of the greats. George Winston is on the phone with me right now. Aloha, George.
Aloha, Cindy. Nice to talk with you today.
Yeah, you know, I've been playing your music for so long, and you created a whole style of music. Now there's like, well, they call it New Age and different things, and there's a lot of people doing what you started years and years ago. How many years ago did you start doing your wonderful music, George?
Well, I started playing organ. Yeah, I don't have any of that philosophical stuff. You know, I just play songs, you know.
Uh-huh.
I don't have any. I just play what I call folk piano for the melodic stuff.
Folk piano? I never have heard that term before.
Yeah, that's what I came up with when I came up with that style back in 71. Well, I heard the Doors in 67, and I started playing organ inspired by them.
Really?
And then I heard Fats Waller's recordings in 71, and I immediately switched to piano. And that was the up-tempo stuff. So I came up with folk piano style as a complementary style to the up-tempo piano. You know, complementary, it's simple like folk songs, like folk guitar. And that's immediately the word that came to me. Oh, yeah, this is folk piano.
Mm-hmm.
Like a folk song is melodic and simple. Kind of stays within the melody. And that style came up with basically does that.
Well, over 40 years, you've been able to sell 15 million albums, which is amazing. Of course, it's all changed a lot since you started 40 years ago, you know, from albums, when I was playing that back then too, you know, and then to CDs and now as MP3s, etc. But you've always had this very pure sense. I always think of Walden Pond when I think of you, George. Because you capture nature's spirit in your music.
Well, I grew up mainly in Montana, and the seasons were so distinct from each other. And eastern Montana is basically a rural area, so that was kind of the basis of kind of how I think of things in general. When I started playing when I was 18, I just sort of continued with that way of thinking.
Yeah, well, It is continually inspiring. I guess do you have a studio in your own home now?
No, I use various studios, whichever my engineer picks.
Mm-hmm. Well, you had, you know, you've been very busy on the road, and you're going to be playing at the Sedona Performing Arts Center coming up pretty soon, January 31st. I assume you've been to Sedona before, right?
Yeah, I think two other times over the years,
mm-hmm.
two or three other times. it's been quite a few years.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be what I call the winter show, which is what I regard as autumn and winter type songs, basically. Last time I played the summer show, which is what I regard as spring and summer type songs.
Mm.
So I try to alternate each time I play someplace.
Mm-hmm. And you have a brand new CD called Spring Carousel on RCA Records. And this is a very interesting, reflective album. It features a collection of 15 compositions that she wrote while recovering from a bone marrow transplant. You stay obviously very, very busy, but you had a situation that occurred in September 13th, 2012, and and I have to say, here on Maui, we had a similar situation. There's a wonderful performer here, Willie Kay, who has cancer, and he just collapsed during one of his performances, and he's in, you know, chemo. But
sorry to hear that.
Well, you know what it's like. I mean, did you know at the time you were performing that there was anything wrong and before collapsing in the dressing room?
Well, fortunately, I made it to the dressing room.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember the last second half of that show, I'm going, what is going on? If I can get through this, I can get through anything forever.
Wow.
So it was just trying to stay. It was a real exercise in concentrating and conserving energy. And everybody goes through something emergency or urgent like that sometime in their life.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's, you know, flat tire on a highway or you know, there's just you do the best you can, and yeah, but I made it to the dressing room, went to the ER, and then went to platelets were real low, so transferred to City of Hope in Los Angeles, had the treatment there, and then when I was recovering, they have a village close to the hospital, so you can walk to your doctor's appointment.
Wow.
And I had access to the auditorium piano every night. So I was practicing for when I started back, when I was going to be starting touring again. And a bunch of these songs just kind of happened. And these 15 worked together the best of the things I came up with. And I realized it was a benefit for City of Hope's cancer research, because without them, their treatment and their piano, the record wouldn't have happened. So I said, well, it all goes back to them.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, a lot of things happen when you're faced with life and death and cancer, and it changes your entire perspective. And I guess there were pieces here that kind of were influenced by the spiraling motions of the planets and stars and galaxies in the universe, which really is amazing that you were able to capture, considering you were doing this while you were going through some of the challenges, and it takes so much out of you going through the treatments and challenges. So during this time, did you find it was kind of a different musical experience for you when you were playing there in the auditorium?
Yeah, in the sense that anywhere I go or wherever I'm playing, I'm really influenced by my surroundings, you know, the season, the building I'm in, the city, you know, the topography. So it's like, okay, well, here I am here out in the desert, and it's winter, but it's getting close to spring. And there were a bunch of those carousel pieces, and it was the springtime when it all happened. Mm. So that's why I called it Spring Carousel, just calling it what it was. And the carousels were all kind of pieces on the upper end of the piano, swirling, repetitive. you know, influenced by 20th century composer Steve Reich's work a lot. Steve Reich, R-E-I-C-H.
Mm-hmm.
You know, horse carousels with the horses, you know, things circling around. Basically, things spiral, though, because everything is in a circle. It's still moving through space, whether it's, you know, solar system or I suppose I could have called it spring spiral, but I only know that things are spiraling because of what I read. I don't experience that. You know what I mean? I see things going around circles. I don't even know the planets are revolving around the galaxy because of what I read. I haven't directly, you know, observed that myself. So.
But we've all been on a carousel, and I remember going on a carousel, and I had the one white horse on that carousel that I loved. That was my horse. And something happened. I was really almost, when I was like 6 and 7 on that carousel, it was almost like I was in another time and place. The music would be going, you know, and everything's up and down and spinning. And I really felt like I was transposed into another place when I was on a carousel. Did you have experiences when you were young on carousels?
A bit, because the fact that I'd never experienced going around in a circle like that. You know, it's like you're walking someplace, your parents' car is going forward, you know, someplace. So going around in a circle is kind of a bit of an unusual activity.
Yeah, it is, and it's
unless you're doing it on purpose, like like ballet dancing or skating or, you know, things like that. So it's a bit of an artistic experience or something like that.
So how long did it take for you to get through this whole treatment? And obviously, City of Hope, and you developed a friendship and relationship. But during that time, from 2012 to 2013, did it take a whole year of treatment?
Well, I was there around that September 20 of 2012, and I went home sometime in March 2013. So not terribly long. I'm sure I had it a lot easier than a lot of people do. You know, mm-hmm. I don't remember anything being terrifically difficult. Of course, somewhat difficult, but you know, I mean, I had it so easy compared to what it could have been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it is always quite life changing, and it's interesting that you decided to do a give back towards the City of Hope for this.
Yeah, they're a nonprofit. Well, they're a nonprofit cancer hospital and research institute. So without them, like I said, it wouldn't have happened, both their treatment and their piano. So it's and I'm a donor to them anyway, in general, but this way it was obvious what this record should, you know, what it should go toward.
You know, you have a couple pieces on this new CD that you say are inspired by Professor Longhair, and I have to say I've always been amazed by Professor Longhair and loved him. And, you know, and another New Orleans piano legend, James Booker. And so you include that. So you have a lot of interesting influences. I was seeing this one here that I thought I might play a little. It's so hard because they're all so beautiful and different at the same time. But I thought I'd play Night Blooming Carousel 16. I thought I might play a little of. Can you tell me a little bit about that story behind that one?
It's just a very much of a night piece, the first part. And the second part, Carousel 16, it's kind of one of the slower carousels and slightly lower. But they're both in the key of E-flat. They kind of fit with each other. They kind of enhance each other a bit. You know, they kind of made each other better. Mm-hmm. Like good team basketball or something, you know.
Now, I know, remember you playing, I've seen you live before, and you do special things with your piano, and it's interesting because when you're on tour, you can't use your piano that you always use. So I know some pianists actually tune their piano up a bit and try to go a little higher register. Do you have any special things you try to create with your piano you use in concert?
No, I just use, you know, whatever piano's there, and sometimes I dampen the strings inside the piano with the left hand and play with the right.
I've seen you do that.
On that song, song called Muted Dream. Some pianos you can't do that because of the way the bracing is inside the piano. So I just adapt to the piano. You know, if there's a piano I couldn't do that piece, then I would just substitute another piece.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do anything special, just whatever they normally do to maintain it.
Well, I love the words you wrote about this night blooming. It says it's a direct reflection of the time in the hospital and how the body heals while sleeping at night. And you said it was as if I composed this in the hospital room itself. And there's such truth in that. I think sometimes people don't realize how miraculous it is that the body does so much healing during the night. And I don't think I've ever seen any musician actually write about that before. But you express a great truth in that. How did you realize that healing happening besides through, obviously, this piece of music?
Well, that whole situation gave me time to kick back like I've never done before. So there's plenty of time to think. And, when I was at the piano later, I wasn't at the piano any time I was in the hospital itself, because you had to kind of stay in there, you know, or on that floor, you know, or very close by. But, you know, it's just remembering the room and how fortunate I was to have been there and, you know, had the great treatment from Dr. Stephen Foreman and his associates and, you know, just, you know, things grow at night. You know, the sun comes down to the earth during the day and things grow at night with that sunlight. So it's kind of all that.
Well, you know, It's very true, and I've gone through. I had cancer, and I was in the hospital, and I did indeed feel like half my right lung was taken out. It was miraculous the way it happened with me. Wow. My horse threw me. I'd had a dream that I was going to die, and I decided I wasn't going to die in my dream. And then a week later, I was riding, and my horse threw me. And exactly where my horse threw me, I had a broken rib that went right into my lung, not knowing what was going on. It took a week in the hospital, them not figuring out what was going on, until they opened me up and found exactly the spot where my rib went into my lung. There was a tumor in my lung. So it's like, well, that's beyond coincidence, you know. So they were able to take that part out, the half the lung out. But, you know,
maybe the horse's wisdom, you know.
It was indeed. It was absolutely. I never could have guessed that. I didn't know anything was going on, but indeed.
Well, I think with all the little bad luck things we have, we're due, you know, we're due for a good luck here and there.
Even think it's luck. I really always believe there's a bigger force at work. But you know, you had a second chance. I had a second chance at life, and when you have those things that happen. You know, your life is a little, you feel blessed and you have a little different perspective. And you've shared so many beautiful pieces of music. I mean, I don't go through a holiday season without playing, you know, December and playing some of the Carol the Bells and some of the lovely songs. And I always like to play the song Spring and the different ones. I like to play them at the time because over the years, my appreciation of the music grows. Because there's a tradition I have of like, oh, I know it's winter now because I'm playing this music, right? and it captures there's a kind of a innocence in your music and purity that is not, it's just because it's coming so clearly from you. And it's just, it's an amazing thing over the years how you've been able to keep sharing that wonderful music. And the Spring Carousel is a lovely piece. It's out on RCA, but do you also have it on your website, George?
Well, it's on the iTunes and all those kind of places.
Okay. And let's talk a little, just a moment here, about Dancing Cat Music and what an amazing process it's been through Dancing Cat. You've done some wonderful things through Dancing Cat.
Oh, thank you. By the way, I've known Nancy Kamoku for like 65 years.
Yeah, she's amazing. Nancy's married to George Kamoku, and I've had them on, actually, I write music, and I have them, George, on my last CD doing a couple songs, and Nancy's always there doing wonderful things. And
she's my sister, you know that.
I do know that. And I guess there was that combination of music that you did with Dancing Cat, and I think you actually put a lot of songs of George's out, music George did out on Dancing Cat, didn't you?
Yeah, with two albums so far. And I first heard some of the great slack key guitarists in the 70s, and I would get the House of Music catalog in Ala Moana Shopping Center in Honolulu, and I just got everything over time. And then in the 1980s, so I was able to start Dancing Cat, start recording more, you know. And we started with recording Ray Connie in 85, and recorded all people all the way to 2004. So we spent 19 years on it. There's still stuff in the can that I'm working on when I can get to the studio.
And because of this, I have to say, George, that a lot of people hadn't been aware of this music until you were able to put it out, because it's kind of sad, but a lot of people here don't get the distribution, don't get the reach, because it's very hard on Maui to get that, you know, connection. A lot of people never got a label to get their music out here, and that's still true to a degree. That it's still true, right? So,
yeah,
so
I was able to tie it into my deal with Windham Hill and BMG, RCA, Sony, and a lot of people off the islands were not that aware of the slack key tradition.
Mm-hmm. And it kind of has grown since then. It's continuing to grow, and it's much, much more appreciated. Of course, George, not you, George, but George Kamoku went on to get 4 Grammys, and you know, meanwhile, doing his life helping people on the farm and working with a lot of children and teaching and living a real life. It's definitely a real life.
So he's always done all that, you know.
Yeah.
Along with recording, you know, for his whole life, you know, he's been just as involved with farming and fishing and everything.
Absolutely, and of course, Keola Beamer, who you know, and another amazing, wonderful jewel and an honored musician here on the islands.
Yeah, he was really the first player I heard in the 70s. And started writing to him later, corresponding, you know, kind of sending different albums I thought he'd like. And he's one of the first people who recorded. We did six albums with him. So I've been very, very fortunate. Work with all these great players who are all inspirations to me.
Yeah. Well, you're on the road. You're going to be in Las Vegas January 25th and 26th, in Phoenix on the 29th, and Sedona. What a treat for people in Sedona. And January 31st, then to Tucson. I love it, Taos Center for the Arts on February 5th. And you move on.
Yeah, I've never been there before.
I haven't, but I have a friend who, I don't know if you know him, but I have a friend named Marcia Rake, and she's played there, and she's wonderful folk artist, and there's a lot of great people that have played there and love it, so it'll be a treat for them. And you move on to Texas and Austin and Dallas, and then on to Lafayette, and people can see all the places you're going to be playing if they go to your website. What's your website, George?
GeorgeWinston.com.
Ah, you got a good one there. That's a good thing.
I go like every February through the end of May. I'm in the studio most of the summer, and then I go out every September through December.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, again, you're helping City of Hope, and if people feel how important it is, and it is for, there's over 11 million committed marrow donors. And every day that helps thousands of people with leukemia and other life-threatening diseases. They can go to bethematch.org. It can save someone's life, you know.
Yes.
And that is something that you can't even begin to put a price on when you're doing that. And you were helped with it. And you'll be doing it in Sedona at the Performing Arts Center. What's the best way, should people go to your site to get tickets, or where do they probably can just get them at the Performing Arts Center through the Performing Arts Center in Sedona?
I think so, yeah. I'm not really sure, but I think they can go to my site, and I think there's a place that says buy tickets, I think. I haven't been to my site for a long time. Like a lot of people.
I love it, but the truth is, you sell out wherever you go. I mean, there's people that just worship.
Well, not always.
No, I would think so, because people love your music. They love your music.
Well, the ones that want to hear it do, and the ones that don't, that's fine. You should go hear what you want to hear. So, some sell out, some not. But we also, I want to mention, we also invite a local food bank. We ask people to bring cans of food if they can, and the food bank always gets the proceeds from the CDs there.
Oh, that's wonderful. And you'll have your music there for sale.
Yes.
Wonderful. Well, it's been a treat talking to you, George. I've always loved your music and played your music, and I've never had a chance to interview you before. So I thank you so much for taking the time to talk. And I wish
thank you, too.
I wish you the very best, and I'll say hi to George and Nancy for you, okay?
Yes, thank you. Thanks for the kind words and everything. And aloha and Happy New Year.
Thank you, George. Have a wonderful journey, and we love your music. So thank you for all you do and all you have done. Until next time.
Aloha.
Yes.
Aloha.
Yeah, that's Happy New Year. You got it. You can train well by the Hawaiian tradition. And aloha. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks much.
Thank you.